Hey listeners, welcome to this week's episode. Obviously, this one was recorded before the news of the Gold Coast Marathon being cancelled. We recorded this one on Monday night, so some of this stuff in this conversation, in this episode, has outdated pretty quickly. Enjoy it otherwise. Cheers.
Pain. Now I hear you say you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? I'm the
Welcome to episode number 191 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Bit happening in the running world, bit happening Australia-wide at the moment. So thanks for giving us your ears for the next 60, 80 minutes or so. Welcome to my co-host down in Canberra this week, Croaks. Going a bit higher in the land. Welcome to the show, Bradley Croker.
Thanks, Brady. Yeah, school holidays, but feels like it's back to March 2020. COVID has poked its head up again. Down this area of the woods.
It does have that vibe about it, doesn't it?
It's a bit, it does.
A bit strange. We're going back to square one.
Well, this is the worst. This is the worst it's been in the ACT because we're being forced to wear masks, which has never happened up until this point. So it's a little bit different for us.
You've never had to put one on the whole
no,
time?
No. This is the first time they've made it compulsory.
Yeah, right. And my other co-host up in Noosa, Julian Spence. Welcome to this week's episode.
Thanks, mate.
How are you going?
Up. For the last time, I'll be up. And then I'll be heading back.
Yes, back to Ballarat, but only for a week, and then you're going back up again, aren't you?
Yeah, about that. Yeah. Back up. I won't be on the podcast for that other week.
You won't be? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'll be back in Victoria by the next time we record after that, but we can get into this another time.
Okay. That'd be interesting. How's things in Noosa, Julian?
Pretty good. So, raining now. Had to take an hour of sunshine today to try to reapply the tan, but still not going to do it. It's going to get cloudy and rainy, and yeah, it's just not what you think of Queensland. What's it like on the Gold Coast?
It was sunny today. Yeah, I am on the Gold Coast. Come up yesterday. Sunny today, Monday, but I think it's predicted rain for like the next 5 days. So, yeah, it could be interesting to see how that goes. You kind of do picture sunshine and 20 degrees in the middle of winter, but maybe not. See what happens though. Can't control the weather, so no good thinking too much about it. We might go to you first, Croaks. Tell us about your training week.
Okay, yeah, I had another pretty decent week. I didn't actually run on Monday. Viv was out with Collis all day, so I was looking after Lily, and by the time Viv got home, it was pretty late, and I hadn't had a day off for about 8 weeks, so Monday was a complete rest day. Tuesday morning, I went for a run out at Mulligan's, just over 8K, 4:18s, and then that night was our track session. I rocked up, and a lot of the guys that are in my little pack that I train with weren't either there or weren't doing a session. So motivation was pretty low when I was warming up. I wasn't sure what I was actually going to do because it's been fun having people just to share the load with and, just train with rather than doing it solo. So, but luckily, Victorian boy Sam Toll, you know Sam, Brady?
I do. I spent a bit of time in the same pack as him before he destroyed us at that Lydner Park cross country a couple of weeks ago. He's a Patreon supporter as well. We thanked him before on the show.
Yeah, so he was up visiting his girlfriend, and so yeah, I sort of had him to train with. Well, I sort of leached off him actually. I didn't do much work at all. But the session was four sets of 1K, 200 jog, then 400, and then 90 seconds rest after the 400. So I guess sort of a broken mile. And I asked him before the session sort of what paces he was hoping to run, and he was like, you know, 3 minute Ks and probably like 67s. And I thought to myself, oh, like if I was training with my other group, I probably would have run more like 305s to 310s, and then tried to maybe punch the 400s in like 65, 66. So anyway, we took off and ended up being a pretty good session. So I ran pretty much all my Ks between 259 and 301. So I was just sitting off the back of Sam. But then he was floating the 200. I really wanted to make sure the 200 was a jog, and I was happy to take up to a minute for that to just make sure my 400s were better quality. But he was doing the 200s in like 45 seconds and then running like 67s, whereas I was taking sort of 50. Was I taking like 50 to 55 seconds, and then my 400s were like 68, 66, 65, 64. So I was pretty happy with the session. Like, I was running the 1600s in about 5 minutes, and then just having 90 seconds pretty much standing recovery. So yeah, it was great that he was there, because I wouldn't have got that sort of session out without him. So yeah, but I definitely bludged. I didn't do an ounce of work. So that was
Did he say what he's got coming up, Sam Toll?
No, he's not doing any at Gold Coast because he just wasn't sure about the whole COVID thing. And then he said that the AV race got, you know, postponed, the one that he was meant to do last weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not sure. I guess most people aren't really sure what they've got coming up. It sort of changes every day at the moment, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, so that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I had to work, so I didn't get out till after work. So I did a little bit around Mulligan's, and then once it got dark, just went out onto the bike path. But felt pretty good. I did 20K 411s. And then Thursday, like pissed down rain all day. And that afternoon, I hadn't been to the gym in ages, so I thought, oh, I'll go to the gym, I'll do some activation stuff, and then I'll jump on the treadmill. So I ran on the treadmill for about 50-odd minutes, averaged like 4:25. So, yeah, it was a bit of a soft option, but, yeah, I hadn't been on the treadmill for a while, and I stayed dry. So, yeah, that was Thursday. And then Friday was another session with Sinead. So she had 4x5K off a two-minute jog, and I'd spoken to Collis the week before about us, or he wanted to do maybe split the session where we do like two reps each. And like, I knew that I'd probably wanted to do more than 2x5K, but I wasn't sure whether I'd do the full session.
No. You ended last week's show saying yeah, you definitely wouldn't be doing the whole session.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I didn't think I would do the full session, or I didn't really know how I was going to feel. Like, based on how I felt last week, I didn't think, you know, I'd be able to get it done, or it wouldn't be smart to get it done. So anyway, I did the first two reps with Sinead, and so Collis didn't warm up with us. He basically just warmed up when we started the session, and he jogged over one of the bridges and met us where we'd finished the second rep. Yeah, it was pretty windy compared to the week before. So the first rep had like a pretty good tailwind and felt like super, super smooth, running like 3:20s we averaged for that one. 2 minute jog, sort of, I guess, low 4 minute Ks. Then the second rep was pretty much 3:20 average again. First two reps felt like awesome. I'm like, oh, maybe I will get this full session done. And then Collis joined us for the third rep, and yeah, another 3:20 average. And then we hit pretty strong headwinds. That was like 30K an hour with gusts of 40. And so I did, after the third rep, I was like, I think I might be done now. But then I sort of jogged the 2 minutes with them. I'm like, oh, I feel okay. I'll start and see how I go. And then, yeah, when we hit the wind, we definitely slowed down from like running 3:20s to more like 3:25, 3:26. And I got to sort of 3K to go. I'm like, oh, it's 10 minutes of running. I'll finish it off. Plus, I thought to myself, like, if I was in Sinead's shoes, and you've hit like, you know, you're at the end of a session, it's starting to get tough, you hit a real shitty section of headwind, and the guy you've been running with the whole time just stops, like, I'd fucking hate that. So I just ended up, basically running running the full session. So I think we averaged 3:22s for the last 5K, which is pretty good given the conditions. So I ended up averaging 3:24s for the whole 21.4K. So, definitely felt stronger than it did the week before, which was a good little progression, I suppose. And then cooled down Saturday.
It's a great workout. Like, the weather you're explaining should be having more of an impact than this. Like, the splits are still amazing. Like, well under Sinead's PB pace.
Yeah.
She's super fit.
Yeah, like, she's definitely fit. Like, she was definitely hurting or working hard in that last that last rep. There was times where Collis and I had dropped her. But then she got back on, and luckily the last probably K and a half, it sort of turned from a headwind to a bit more of a crosswind, so we were able to sort of then pick it up a little bit again. But she's just so tough.
Did she say anything about you snitching on her workouts and stuff? Like, she's pretty private, doesn't put stuff on Strava, social media, and then you just go like telling 20,000 people what kind of split she's hitting on a podcast?
No, she didn't. I think she's more appreciative that there's somebody out there helping her than anything. Actually, it was funny after the first rep, because Max was back on the bike again, and we were told to maybe try and slow down the recoveries a little bit from the week before, and we're rolling along, and I look down, and I'm like, oh, we're still like 4:10s or whatever, and Sinead's like, oh, feels so easy, and Max is like, oh, you don't want to get in trouble again on Monday, and then I basically told her the story that you guys were more interested in hearing about Sinead's session than my session. So she found that quite funny. So anyway, that was the session. Saturday morning, got out to Mulligan's. I've been actually pulling up really well from these sessions. I don't know if it's the shoes and my Achilles in the mornings, like off these longer sessions, they feel like I don't hobble for as long in the mornings, which I don't know why. But yeah, I averaged 4:11s for an hour. And then Sunday we had a massive pack. I'd say it's probably one of the most enjoyable Mulligan's runs I've ever had. So, you know, Liam, so basically all the MTC guys and Collis came out for a run as well. So there was those like five plus myself, Max and Charlie, who I train with, and then a lot of the guys that I train with on a Tuesday night came out. So, and Trav was there as well. So we would have had like a pack of at least 15, somewhere between 15 and 20, I reckon. So ended up running, they were doing an hour 45, so I did 28k at 4:01s on Sunday, but it went by super quick, and it was good fun. So I ended up 130k for the week, which it was not bad considering I took Monday off and only did one double. So
good week. What should you go, Miss?
Okay, did Sinead do that 4:01 pace as well?
Pretty much. Like, she was probably, because I did a little bit extra and the last couple of K were a bit quicker. So she, but you know, looking at like Jack and Brett, they were like 4:03s for an hour 45. So yeah, she would have. It was definitely a lot flat because she found Stromlo pretty tough the week before. They went out to Stromlo for their long run, and like the route that we did around Mulligan's, and we actually went down to Yerribee Pond and did a lap around there. So it was a lot. You know, it was a lot flatter than it can be out there. You know, it was probably 280 meters of elevation over, you know, 26k. So it's not super hilly, but she did say, I said, oh, a bit flatter than Stromlo. She's like, yeah. She goes, we're still running pretty quick though.
How come you did more crows? Yeah. Just a bit of a flex on them.
No, like I wanted to do, like I'd planned to do 2 hours. Because like I'm not racing, so and like, I look back, actually every time that I've the week before I've paced, I've always done like 30 plus k, but yeah, so I wanted to do 2 hours, but when they sort of stopped at an hour 45, I was at an hour 48 because a couple of them stopped for a toilet break, so I then went back and picked a couple of them up, and then did an hour 52. Thought that's enough rather than running another 8 minutes on my own.
Hey, I want to know more about this secret of pulling up really good after big workouts like that. And you mentioned it was the shoes. Which shoes did you wear?
The Next Percent Next Percent for the Friday session.
Should have nearly threw the Alpha Flies on for that one. Would have been a nice pace for the Alpha Flies. 320s.
Yeah, I thought I'll wear out these Next Percent first.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. All right, good week. People hanging to hear what your pacing plans are for this weekend. Or do you think you're coming? Do you think the race is going to happen?
I reckon I'm 50-50 at the moment. Like, who knows what's going to happen over the next few days? Like, if the ACT gets some cases, which there's a chance, because I heard on the news today that they reckon there's maybe 25 or 30,000 people in Canberra that they know have been in Sydney over the last, like, couple of weeks. So there's a chance that there'll be some cases pop up in Canberra. And if that's the case, then Queensland will probably shut the border to ACT. So that's one risk. And I guess the other risk then is that if their cases start to increase in Queensland, ACT might then sort of shut the borders to Queensland, which means there'll be some sort of quarantining when I come home. So it's just a bit of just, yeah, sit and wait.
Yeah.
But at this stage, I'm on the Gold Coast on Friday.
It's Monday, isn't it? I've still got a few days to happen before everything kicks in. We'll just wait and see, though. Julian Spence, your
today
week.
Was okay.
Today was alright.
Today was okay. Announcement. Yeah, like nothing went backwards today, which was good.
In Queensland, you mean?
Yeah,
pretty much in Queensland. But even like. There wasn't a case in Canberra. Yeah.
No, there's only 18 in Sydney, which is, you know, not massive either.
Yeah.
Mm. Moose, tell us about your running week. 66K, your blue bars are on the way up here.
Yeah, it's getting there, just slowly but surely. Monday I did 7K, and then 14 on Tuesday. Just easy jogging this is. And then on Wednesday, I went back to 30 minutes. Just getting some bad crepitus in my Achilles. So that's a sign that the sheath is inflamed. And yeah, it doesn't get I don't get pain with it. It's just a real uncomfortable feeling. So I just ran 30 minutes after the gym on Wednesday. And then 60 minutes I ran on Thursday. That was a rugged up run, so we went in the sauna first and then got changed into our laid gear and then went out with a run. We then went out and ran 12k, so that was pretty good. I got through that okay, and then the next day was, it rained up here a lot and we ran 16k. Brie was on the bike. We did a loop course, which was the first time I've been able to sort of run long enough where I can do a decent loop. But it was really wet and there was a few hills and I wore a shoe that I don't think was great for my Achilles. I found like that the heel cut pushed in a little bit, similar to old Croxy's problem from a few years ago. And the Achilles just, it just gave me a little bit of a reminder that it's not quite right. So I had a sauna after that, and then the next day I was tempted to run. Like, I went out and helped Ailey on a long workout, and by the time I got back, I was thinking about going for a run. I was sort of in two minds, but what helped me was it started pissing rain here, so that made the decision for me. I thought, yep, smart work to have a day off.
two boys haven't run in the rain last week.
It was a soft decision by me, but it was also a smart decision because I reckon I got on top of it. Ran with Jose and Ali. Jose is back up here. He got back up Saturday night, so it was a tempo for Jose, 10.5K out at Hollett Road, which is like this the dirt road that we're doing a lot of running on. It's one of the only decent dirt roads up here for jogging on. So we go out there, park at the RSPCA with all the dogs and the cats. Looking to get rehomed, we park right outside it and then run down the road. So that's it. That was my week. 66, and then this week I do my first little workout tomorrow. So that's fun. That's exciting.
What's the first one back? 2x4 minutes. Well,
4x5k.
We're Valley.
Just win anything that I can get my hands on. So Lockie Doak's up here. Congrats to Lockie. He got engaged today to Millie, two of our best Run Strong coaches. Throw that in. But he's up here with Millie. Millie's doing the marathon. Lockie's doing the half. And I'm doing Lockie's taper session. So it's kind of perfect. It's like 4 by 3 minutes at about his race pace, which is three. He's looking at doing about 3:25s for the half. So that's my session. It's so, like, Ali's doing a monofilic same day, and I would have loved to go out there and just crush her, but I don't think I will be able to. She's actually telling me not to because it's bad for my Achilles, the change of pace stuff.
Yeah.
But I think she secretly just doesn't want me to tail her up. But yeah, Lockie will be good to run with. So hopefully I don't get carried away and ruin his workout, or hopefully he doesn't drop me after 6 or 7 seconds and I can jog all right at the moment. Like, my heart rate's fine for jogging. I think the heat works out with that, but I have, every time I go up a hill, it spikes quickly. So I'm not sure how the speed stuff will go.
Oh, well. Anyway, we'll hear about exciting it next week. Very good. I kicked off the week with an easy hour, 4:31 pace on Monday morning. Tuesday, I titled my run All Sunshine From Here, the shortest, darkest day of the year. So isn't the thing that we get like an extra minute every day from the winter solstice? Isn't that what they say? You guys heard that rumor before?
I don't know the answer to that. No.
I know we get more daylight.
Yeah, I think it's a minute every morning and a minute every night. It extends two minutes extra daylight a day. So I was pretty happy that we're on the other side of that, because it's been getting pretty dark pretty early and taking a while to light up. Did an easy 28 minutes at 4:24s Tuesday morning because I was driving over to Shepparton to go onto the athletics track for a track workout. We did... This was an interesting one. So Nathan, who we train with a bit, he didn't race Launceston and isn't at the Gold Coast, and his cross-country race got cancelled or got postponed, the AV one that you were talking about before, Croaks. So we kind of set him up to do a 5K time trial. Archie would pace for 3 laps then jump out, and I'd pace for 3 laps and then jump out. We stuffed it up a bit. We wanted to hit 70s to try and help, kind of set him up to run 14:35, and then if he ran good, kind of was feeling good, he could kick it home a bit in the last 4 or 5 laps to kind of try to maybe go sub 14:30. But Archie and I were just a bit off, a couple of like 71, 72s early on. We went through 3K in 8:51. And then he kicked it home. He finished in 14:33 off a solid last 2K, but we probably cooked his chances of being able to break 14:30 just because we didn't pace him that well early on. So it was a bit of a wind-up, so that was a bit of fun. So I kind of did 2 3-lappers, so 2 1200s with about 2 minutes. I think it was 2 minutes 20 recovery because we'd jump in and have a lap together. And then I did a 600 at the end of that. So that was kind of like the first part of our workout. And then Archie and I did 5 by 800s in around about 2:15 with 75 seconds just walking recovery. And then we jogged a lap and did 5 400s, and we went 66, 62, 65, 64, 64 off 75 seconds walking around as well. So that was a good workout. A lot of laps of the track. Good to work on that, like, bit quicker pace than 2:50 pace, which I was talking about a few weeks ago at Launceston. Like, I felt like I didn't have that extra gear because we weren't doing much work on it. So good to get over the track, tick the legs out a bit more. Big track workout, though. I think it was... in total 23 laps I did it at an average of like 67 68, so was banged up the next day. I did an hour average 4:47s, and just like Dom's got me really good, just battled, but just kind of kept it easy and kind of respected that it worked pretty hard the night before. An easy 30 minutes in the rain that night at 4:31s. That was after I saw Jay, my masseuse. He kind of sorted me out, loosened me up a bit. Felt much better on that afternoon run. An easy 7K the next morning, which would have been Thursday morning, and an easy 55 minutes in the afternoon. And then our second workout of the week was a mile at kind of like half marathon pace. So we're kind of hovering around 3:04s, 3:05s, and then a mile. It was meant to be plus 20 seconds, so it was meant to be kind of 3:25 pace. But we kind of hit 3:20s pretty much for the average for those miles off, and we did that 4 times. So, 12.8K, felt really good. Pretty easy mentally workout, like just thinking that you only had to turn it on for 4 by a mile, like 4 by 5 minutes, pretty consistent. It's kind of like our last dark early workout because I'm kind of on school holidays now for 2 weeks, so I don't have to go super early anymore. And hopefully in 2 weeks' time, it's a bit lighter in the morning. So it was good to tick that off. Yeah, good. I was really surprised how much we recovered in that mile at 3:20s. Like just having that 5 minutes to compose yourself was really good. Felt smooth. Then an easy half an hour in the afternoon, absolutely hammering with rain again. Just felt like every time I went for a run last week, it was just like drizzly rain. It wasn't that heavy, but it was just miserable to be out in. And then Saturday I actually did like a 90-minute run because we made the decision to come up to the Gold Coast a bit earlier. So originally I wasn't going to come up until this Thursday, but I just wasn't sure what was going to happen. I was a bit worried because all the cases in Sydney that New South Wales would have got blanketed, and I'm on obviously the New South Wales side of the border in my town, so I thought they were going to get like maybe a blanket ban and anyone from New South Wales might not have been allowed in come Thursday when my flight was on. So I just said to Carly and Hudson, do you want to come to the Gold Coast? And yeah, booked them on some flights and we ended up coming up Sunday. So I did run for 20 minutes before we got in the car Sunday. I just didn't put that, my watch was charging before we were going, so I didn't have a watch on, just went off my phone stopwatch. And then when I got to the Gold Coast, just did an easy half an hour, big day of traveling with a toddler. But we got here, we're all good. And that was 140 Ks for the week. So just, yeah, tried to cut like 20, 25 K off kind of a normal week. No kind of real long run, but two pretty good workouts. And hopefully freshen up a bit this week for the Gold Coast half marathon on Saturday, if it happens. So, but if it doesn't, we will have a good family holiday.
What's your lead-in session?
I think I'm going to go train with our man, Lewis McAfee, tomorrow morning. He just been messaging me this afternoon. So, he said he's rather doing monofartlek or some two-minute efforts, I think. So whatever they're doing will modify. Archie's on his way up here now. I think he just landed at the Gold Coast. So we're going to go out with them. They start at 5:45 tomorrow morning. See what they're doing. I think it's good to train with different people, and like we never get to train with people, so kind of take the opportunity to jump in a group and see what they're having a crack at.
Obviously. Even at 5:45 a.m.
Yeah, he said that to me. He goes, it's the Gold Coast. We start early here, and I'm like, well, we start at 6:30 anyway, so. Which is a five.
You're on holiday, mate.
It's a five.
Yeah, you're on. Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
I was wide awake at 5:10 this morning, so it'll be nothing different.
Brady's gonna have two races this week, Moose.
I'll be making sure Archie doesn't have a race tomorrow. I'll be just keeping the ropes on him a bit. So,
How about old Louis just trying to get his name mentioned on the podcast?
You reckon that's the only reason he invited me? Doesn't even like it.
Yeah, I reckon. Wants to hear about his training.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's going to be really valuable for us just to see how another group operates and get to jump in with people and not have to worry about leading reps and looking at watches and stuff like that. And just even to see, like,
Where's the workout at?
The Spit. I always see it on Strava and stuff because Andy's up here too. I ran with him today, but he's going to the track. I thought I didn't want the tracks at like Runaway Bay. I think it takes a while to get there, maybe like 10-15 minutes out of town. So we'll just stay local and knock this over, which should be good.
What's he doing on the track?
Let me tell you, he did message me. Hope he doesn't mind me sharing his training.
10 by 1K,
you reckon?
Yeah.
No, it's
something easy off the back of that 30K.
It was something like 1K reps and 300s. I've just got to scroll through some messages. He's doing 5 by 1K, 3 by 300s. So just a little sharpener before he wins Gold Coast on Sunday, I guess. Sharpen up.
Is that what he reckons?
Talk about Gold Coast later on when we do some predictions, hey? We'll mention his name. So yeah, it's good. It's a bit of a different world up here coming from... I spend majority of my time in Victoria where everyone's masked up and COVID's very real and social distancing and there's a lot of restrictions in place, whereas I've been here the last 24 hours and haven't spotted one person in a mask and everything's pretty like old world a bit, kind of like in Canberra cross.
Yeah. You'll see them tomorrow in a mask.
Yeah, that's the latest, isn't it? 1 a.m. tomorrow morning it comes in. So So yeah, let's thank some Patreon supporters though, eh, fellas? Kick us off, Croaks.
All right, I'm thanking Kristen this week. So we don't have a lot of information on Kristen, so this is a long shot. Only signed up with first name, maybe based in Queensland. If this is the Kristen we think it is, has run 45.58 for 10K, hour 43 for the half marathon, and maybe 30K at Gold Coast in 2 hours 37. Fun fact, the name Kristen is a girl's name of German-Norwegian origin, meaning a Christian. There we go. So I won't, yeah. So thanks for your support, Kristen. No idea whether that's you or not.
Don't mind that fun fact though, Craig. It's good on you.
Nah, I like the fun fact. Maybe it's Kristen Wyatt. Remember Kristen Wyatt from Geelong? She was a good marathoner.
No, I don't. Don't know her.
Oh, she would have run when you ran for Geelong. She was... She what did she do that was significant? She ran that Noumea. Was it Noumea? Is that a place out in like
an island?
Yeah, she won that marathon, I reckon.
Wasn't it a prize or something to go over there from one of the Australian marathons? Remember Daniel Clark, the 1500 meter runner, went over there?
Yeah, a few people went there. It was definitely like you got invited somehow. Yeah. I can't remember. Maybe you had to win a race or big. I don't know, but yeah, she went and she might have won that twice.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, maybe it's her. Wants to keep her identity hidden, though.
Maybe we can roll off a few famous Christians.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know any famous Christians?
Nah. Carly's got a all cousin right. with that name. Could be her. That's about the only one I know. Moose, tell us who you got.
I got Paul Strutt from Killarney Vale in New South Wales. Paul ran 22.16. He ran a 47-minute 10K PB in a 12K race. Unfortunately, that's not a PB, Paul. Sorry to bust that up. Unless it had a timing marker there, but I don't think they do. Bay to Bay, that was that. 4:14 at New Run Marathon. What's that? Have you ever heard of that marathon before?
Yeah, it's Newcastle's one.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard of that. Thinks he owns four boys, Brady. All look under five. He's got a beard, Boston Red Sox hat, and a bit of ink on his arm. Right. There you go. Thanks, Paul.
Back to dad chat from last week, though. Imagine having four kids under the age of five and they're all boys.
What about Moose the Grinch?
Oh, yeah. Paul's just probably busting his guts. COVID's wiped out. COVID's wiped out all his 10K race opportunities. He finally finds the 12K race and wants to have a good crack through the first 10K. Or he settles early and kicks around the last 10K. Anyway, Paul, please don't cancel your subscription.
Come on, boys. You know the drill.
Yeah, if they have timer mats, I'll accept it. Sometimes they even put clocks up there. Like Gold Coast.
A clock's not a timing mat.
Gold Coast will have a clock and a timing mat at the 10K split on Saturday. So you accept that?
You reckon if you run a half through the marathon, you can claim it as a PB?
Well, I can if there's a timing mat.
And when you look at your name on the results, it says like first half, second half. Yeah.
I reckon you can definitely claim that.
It wouldn't be the smartest idea to do it, though.
You've run through halfway in that time.
Isn't it your PB, Moose? It's from the first half.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, this is good news. I never thought about that. But I've never been brave enough to claim that, but I will.
I'm sure. Yeah. Or do like BWA have like an official... Yeah, that definitely would have. People are tracking. All right, what's your new half marathon PB? What is it?
I'm going to go look that up.
Oh, thank Richard Halliwell, while you do that. Richard's from Mosman in New South Wales. Sydney, isn't it, Croaks? Mosman?
Yeah, just over the bridge, just north of the bridge.
Okay. Is that a good area, Sydney?
Yeah. Very wealthy area.
Okay. 24.05 for 5K, 50.37 for 10K, 152.09 for the half marathon, and 4.39 at the New York Marathon in 2019. Reckon I saw some photos of him. I did these notes a while ago with... Deke, Indigenous Marathon Project and stuff. Maybe it was over there with them or just got a photo with them. Runs with the Kirribilli Running Group. That a good running group, Croaks? You know this one? They've got red singlets.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, photos on Strava of him mowing the lawns, looking real good. And he's also had a photo on Strava of a yacht that was underwater. So what Croaks is telling me about that area, hope it wasn't your yacht though, Richard. His goal in his Strava notes actually is to break 69 minutes at the City to Surf. So good luck with that goal, Richard. And thanks for your support of the Inside Running Podcast with all the other legends over there who make this show possible to come out every week. Rightio. Running news, boys. Your man. Been talking about him for a while, Croaks. Charlie Hunter. Tell us what he did in the last week.
Yeah, so they had a race up in, I think it was Portland, 800. So he ran 144.35. So that's under the standard, and it also puts him at the second fastest Australian of all time. So we now have three Aussie males who have run the standard for the 800. So we'll have a full team there, which is very exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah, he's been knocking on the door for quite a while, so it's good to see him finally finally get the time. And did a lot of work. Like, if he's in a race where there's people with him with 200 to go, he's probably going to run even faster because he's pretty much solo.
Mm. He did have people at the NCAA final, though, when he came third, and he didn't go with that. Like, they went super fast early on. So it's just kind of... You got to get it right in an 800, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Moose, take us over to Adelaide. It was a steeple attempt over there for people to get some qualifiers.
Yeah, well, Adelaide, and also earlier on, the race up in Queensland again, Matt Clark. He'd run 8:22, and then he went again and ran 8:22 again, which puts him, obviously the qualifying time is 8:22. So he was, I think he was less than half a second off both times, which is pretty devastating. So a race was organised for him in Adelaide on Sunday morning, I think it was, yesterday morning. And the weather looked horrid. His goal was to try to get 8:20, like get the automatic qualifier, obviously. Max Stevens paced him, but Max looked really tired because Max had helped him over the last two races as well, and I think they went out a little slow, and then it was very hard for Matt to get going in that weather, as well as having two races. So he ended up running 8:33, which is a pretty freaking incredible run, doing the majority of the work solo and also in those conditions. So, I mean, hats off to him for being able to produce that, but unfortunately that won't get him on the Olympic team.
Because his ranking is 48th out of 45, which they take. I did put notes here, though. Like, are there other countries still not to declare if they're going to pick people, though? Like, can he potentially jump up?
I think that is the case, Brady. I read somewhere that what happens is when the qualification period ends, the IAA or World Athletics basically go, all right, this is the quota. Let all the federations know, like, how many spots they have. And then the federations have to come back with, yes, we want to take those spots. No, we don't. And then I guess it gets redistributed.
Yeah. So I'm on the men's 5K now because I wanted to check. So we've heard news that Stewie's only going to run the 1500, not the 5 and 10K. So when I went to the 5K one, he's not even listed on the 5K anymore. So Pat Tiernan's our number one Australian seed, which... Yeah, so that's Clarkie's still showing up at 45. So I bet we're just not sure if every country's told, you know.
I think they've had to.
I assume they've probably all got the same cutoff date. Just let me refresh. Right. I'll just see if anything's changed since I did these notes, because I did them before I came up here. We've got Ben Buckingham in 40th on ranking points, and they're taking 45, so he's still safe at the moment. Got Nipperis at 46 and they're taking 45. Oh, and then Matthew Clark at 48 and they're taking 45. So, oh, Nipper, that could be, oh, yeah, that's a hard pill to swallow.
And then, yes, we'll just have to wait and see next couple of weeks. Like, it'll all be finalised, I suppose, and know where people sit.
And this is, we've spoken about this before, because I was asking you about what this thing actually meant, Croaks, and this is the same case here, that on the very top of the seed, there's a name, Joella Lloyd, accepted university place. Can you explain this for listeners? So this is above the Olympic champion.
So I guess the whole idea of the Olympics is, you know, try and get all countries involved. You know, it's about participation as much as it is about the competition. And so countries that don't have any athlete qualify for any event in the track and field program are entitled to send one athlete for whichever event they like, regardless of how slow they've run or jumped or thrown. So, for example, in the women's 5K, you could get some country that hasn't got an athlete qualified in any event, but they want to send one 5K runner, and that runner has run 20 minutes for 5K. They're entitled to a spot, which then obviously means that there's only 44 spots left in the quota, assuming it was a 45 quota. So that's what that means, Brady.
Oh, yeah, but this is, you know, that name I read out just before, they're on top of, like, more than one event. You know, so when I go to the 3K steeple, that name's on the very top. But when I go to the women's 5K, that same name's on the very top.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like that country's, they haven't chosen what event to go on yet, but they're going to have a spot somewhere.
They haven't chosen which event, but there's, that person will be entitled to a spot.
This could be good for Nipper, though, because this person, when I look up their profiles, is a sprinter. Like, they've run 11.1 for 100, 23.4 for 200. Mm. So I can't imagine them taking a spot in the steeple.
Because I only found out about this, there's a really good article on Runner's Tribe, actually, that I think Len Johnson wrote, and it basically explains that every country can send one athlete, which is, look, personally, I reckon that, like, that's great that they do that, but they should then extend the quota to 46, or, you know, if that's the case, because I just don't think it's fair that, you know...
Not at all.
And, like, we'll change about this on the long run, and where you normally see it is the federations will often send a 100-metre runner because it's not quite as embarrassing having, like, a 15-second 100-metre runner out on the track versus, like, a 20-minute 5K runner when they're running, like, 14 minutes. So often it happens in the sprints more so than the distance events. But could you imagine, like, in the women's 100, a 15-second runner knocking somebody that's run 11.8, I'm happy for them to run, but just extend the quota.
I think they might actually do that, because when I'm looking at it at the very top here, like, it says one next to their name, but then the next person down says one, and then the next person's two.
So they might do that. I guess we're just speculating.
It's a bit of a balls up, though. We've got no idea how some of this stuff works, and it's all new. This is the first year they've used it for the Olympics. Kara went around over there as well. Moose, Kara Fionn Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
She ran 9:41.
Another very good run. And, yeah, it's a shame she couldn't get some good races out early, or, like, get the points in those championship races when she needed to, because she's going to be one of those steeplechase athletes that have run faster than the other Australians that will go. So it's a tricky spot to be in.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask, what are your guys' thoughts on, and this is one of the limitations, I think, about the point system, is you potentially send somebody who's run slower than somebody else, which I also think is not a great look in the world of track and field.
I hate it. I athletics is so simple. It's the tracks all measure the same, and it's just stopwatch, and we race against the clock. I don't like the allocating of points, and I never have ever since they first brought it in. Like, I just, and it, look, it probably works in the favor of someone like myself, who's never going to really run a qualifying time, but could sneak their way through a bunch of different races and collect points and finish high up somehow, like, if you were smart enough to do it. But it just doesn't feel right to me. I just feel like we want to send our fastest athletes.
So here's an example, like, with the Matt Clark, with the men's steeple at the moment. So, you know how you said that Nipper's in 46th position. Let's say that one of the countries doesn't send somebody who's qualified ahead of Nipper. Nipper then moves into 45th, and Matt Clark moves into 47th. Now, Clarkey misses out, but Nipper's in. But Clarkey's run, what, 7-8 seconds faster than Nipper over the steeple? Mm. Like, that's the example where it's not a good look in terms of, you know, you should be sending those that have run faster.
Yeah, but then Nipper beat him in a championship race at the Australian Championships.
Well, that, yeah.
You know, do you want the fastest guy or you want the best racer who can perform when it's championships up for grabs?
But then you argue, all right, well, who's in the best current form?
Yeah, this close to the Olympics. Yeah, I know, I'm just trying to put two sides to it.
Yeah.
I wonder how many, because the US trials just wrapped up today, because they might have more than three people. Oh, no, but it doesn't care. Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah. Watch this. Watch stuff. This space.
The team will be walking trials this time next week, won't they? Yeah. Australian team. We'll know who's definitely going next week.
Yeah, it should be.
Should be all
sure.
announced.
Yeah.
There was that news though in the rankings though. Yeah, we said before Stewie just doing the 1500. Good move, fellas. What do you think about that?
Yeah, 100%. I think I said a couple the other week that there's no way he would do the. Well, I wouldn't recommend that he do the 10K before doing 1500 meter rounds. And also, I think the 1500 meters is his best chance because he hasn't finished really outside the top three in any sort of, you know, Diamond League or major 1500 in the last, you know, couple of years. And you just look at that five, like, I just think the men's 5K, there's too many guys that can run like high 1240s to low 1250s. And Stewie's just not quite there yet. Like he's probably capable of it, but he's definitely more consistent and more competitive in the 15. So I think it's a great move.
Moose, anything to add there?
No, well said, Brad.
Thanks,
what
Moose.
What about Jess? Or did you read that newspaper article on him? That big one that they had in The Age, like 3-page spread.
It's on my to-do list. I've got the link.
Bradley, yeah. Do you read it, Moose?
Oh, mate, I'm not going with The Age anymore. I'm not going with The Herald Sun or The Australian.
Oh, really?
I don't read the newspaper. I love Stewie. I might read it, but I'll pretend that it's not coming from one of those publications.
Political, is that what you think?
Oh, mate, they're so fucked. Our country's fucked. Our country is in trouble. And this would probably be the best thing to come out of those papers in the last 18 months, I reckon. By the sounds of it, anyway.
It was a brilliant article, like 3 or 4 page spread. I'm surprised they didn't ring you for a quote, actually. They had quotes on, like, Brett Robinson, Jordan Williams, his training partners, Nick Bedell, his coach, Steve Montaghetti had quotes in there, Dee Costella had quotes in there, Bruce McAvaney had quotes in there. Like, it was like a mini book on him. It was, the guy had done so much research, the guy who wrote it. We'll put it in the show notes.
So you're putting Moose in the same league. You're putting Moose in the same league as all those names you just rattled off.
Could have, yeah.
All those blokes represented Australia except Bruce McAvaney. I could have taken Bruce McAvaney's spot.
there was like Percy Cerity quotes thrown in there, like references, and yeah, that was a great.
What was his name?
The author.
Journalist.
Oh, the journalist. Yeah. Give me 2 seconds. Like, I don't think he was a sport. Actually, he's written some books on footy and stuff before. But, Conrad Marshall, senior writer for The Good Weekend, author of 3 Richmond Football Club books. So, yeah, he'd put in the time. Like, he'd been to Stewie's house and was talking about the furniture in there and what kind of car he drives and how much he earns a year. And, yeah, it was super detailed. I'd never read a piece that went in so in-depth. He must have followed him around for weeks. Anyway. Recommend reading that. Jessica Hull also just doing the 1500 only. We've drew from the 5K for the nominations there. So we thought this was going to be different though, because Izzy and Bat Doyle and Rose both told us that they thought Jess Hull was going to do the 5K.
I think this is a good move though, based on what we've seen over the 5 and the 10,000 the last few weeks. Like those girls in the 10,000, like they're pretty much running 4 minutes for 1500 meters at the end of these like distance races, whereas if you can run 4 minutes for the 1500 or sub 4 minutes for the 1500, you're probably going to be just as competitive in the 1500, whereas for Jess to be like a medal chance in the 5k, she probably has to run 4 minutes for the last 1500 of the 5K. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. There are, though, there's 12 people here on the rankings. quicker than 2:59. So there's still Lyndon Hall's in 15th.
3:59.
Is that what I said? So you're looking at a lot of quality still there. Oh, Shelby Hallahan's there. She won't be there. Hassan. It depends on what Hassan does too.
What do you reckon? Do you reckon it's a good move? Going 1500.
Yeah, I think so. I think this could be our best chance of a top six, a top eight.
Yeah, I just think the fit 5K now. Like these women are going to be running like 14, like low, and you know Jess is probably not quite there yet. Whereas she'll be, you know, pretty competitive over the 15, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
she's also run a lot of 15s in college, and she's more experienced in that event. She's practiced racing it, and I feel like she'd be more confident with it than maybe like she's only run 3 or 4 5Ks her whole career. So that might come down to it as well.
I still think it's just disappointing though that the whole timetable doesn't allow like quality athletes like Stewie and Jess to be able to do the double. And like the 1500 and 5K, like it is a, you know, it is a crossover. Like we saw El Garouge do it in what, 2004, win both. So it's a bit of a shame. I know we've talked about it previous weeks, but
It is a shame.
Yeah.
Last bit of news, fellas. Let's preview the Gold Coast Marathon. Who wins it and why? Let's start with the elite field in the females. Jessica Stenson. I saw this name on the email. Actually, I think they haven't done a press release with Jess's name on it yet, but I've got sent the start list. Jessica Stenson goes in as number one seed. Millie Clark, Nira Jareb, Marnie Ponton, Alice Mason, Madeline Heiner, Tara Palm, who would have been her debut. That's your top 5 or 6 seed. I know Karina Fife's in there as well. People reckon she's going all right. Oh, yeah, she's a bit further down here on the list. Who's going to win, Croaks, and why?
Well,
who's going to start and why?
Yeah, it depends who gets on the start. So I know like Jess actually messaged me today saying that she's not sure whether she can actually get up there on the weekend because South Australia have now closed the borders to Queensland, which means I guess if coming back she'd have to quarantine or stay up there until South Australia open it to Queensland. You know, Jess had a stress reaction in April, so it's a pretty short prep for her, but you'd imagine she wouldn't go all the way to the Gold Coast unless she was in shape. So if Jess is on the start line, I would I'd pick Jess just based on she must be fit if she's going to that effort.
It's a big call though, isn't it? Like we saw Millie run a decent half marathon a couple of weeks ago. And you're backing the person who's come off the injury.
Yeah.
Coming. This ain't long.
No, it's not. But, like, you know, she must back her fitness at the moment. Because you're not going to go to that effort. You're not going to risk injuring yourself again. So she must be going okay. And she's a gutsy competitor when it comes to the marathon.
Knows how to get marathons right, too. Pretty good track record. All right, Moose, who are you going for in the women's and why?
I'm going to go for Millie Clark because I don't know how much fitness you can get in 5 weeks, especially for the marathon. Now, I know Jess is, like you said, very tough and has run some very good marathons before, but I just wonder, coming off a stressy, like in the, I think it was in the femur, right, where it joined with the knee, it's a pretty significant injury. And when you're coming back, you don't just go straight from not running into 30K runs. So if you're right in saying that she's had 5 weeks to get back, that means she's done a rebuild program and she hasn't had all those long runs in her legs. So that's my take. But yeah, Millie will win that one.
Excited to see how the two debutantes go, Maddie Heiner and Tara Palm. Obviously both, Maddie, the two-time Olympic finalist at Rio. 31:40 over 10K. Be interesting to see how she goes in the marathon. And Tara, I've been saying her name a bit on this podcast over the years. Good on the roads, the 5 and 10K road races over there in South Australia. So it'd be interesting to see how they go. I think South Australia, yeah, you were talking about that, Brad. Tara's based there. Same restrictions. So, yeah, we're just not sure who's going to be.
Who you got, Brady?
I am going to say Madeline Heiner. She's one of our coaches that runs a PB, getting a bit of inside news about how, not from her, from one of my colleagues about how her fitness is going. They reckon she's flying. Big workouts, ready to go, super competitive. She wouldn't run a marathon unless she's a good chance to win it.
Yeah.
Mark my words, fellas. I always give you hot tips. Men's race. Ben St. Lawrence, number one seed. Nick Earl scratching today. That was number two, so I don't have to worry about him. Thomas DeCano, Daniel Jones from New Zealand. Hugh Williams, Andy Buchanan, Riley Cox, Lewis McAfee. I think the winner's going to come from that list of names, fellas. Who do you like in the men's?
Tommy for me.
And just, why?
Just because he's shown good form over the half, over recent times, and if anything, he gets better the longer the races go. So I think the fact that he was able to beat Benny over a half, I think means that he can beat him over the full. And like Andy has been like training well, but you know, Tommy's done a few of these now. So you know what it's like, first marathon, it doesn't always go to plan. So that's why I've chosen Tommy over, say, like the likes of Andy.
Just looking at Tommy's profile, is he only finished three marathons? 220 in Melbourne when he won it, didn't he? 2016.
Yeah, he won it. And it was windy. That was windy that year.
Yeah.
That was a real windy year.
Was it?
And,
yeah. Because remember, he got a sit. Didn't one of his teammates or something in the half for a while? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then Fukuoka is PB 2:14:59 December 2017, and then 2:18:46 at Fukuoka as well. So hasn't run one for a while.
But I think he's
a different athlete to then.
I think he's stronger now. So like he's definitely better over the half, and as we've like he generally gets better the longer the races go. So the fact that his half has improved and his 5K and his 10K, I think he can take a big chunk off what he's run for the marathon. Like it may not happen on the Gold Coast, it might be end up being a tactical affair, but I definitely think he's better than what he's run for the marathon this like thus far.
Yeah, and he's 62:13 at Launceston last year. Probably, yeah, pretty good evidence of that. And I think him and Andy ran really similar at Zatopek when they ran 10K on the track, didn't they? 28:35 here. So, yeah, those two PBs line up pretty similar. Moose, who wins and why?
I think Tom wins. That run at Launceston was very impressive. I thought it was brilliant, actually. And he's done some things different this time around. He's known to get sick around this race time, prone to little illnesses, and he's taken off. He got away from the kids and the family and went up north. So he's definitely prioritising this race. I just think he's dialed in. So I like Tom. And I like Ben for second.
Okay.
Because I just, you know, Andy, like, we love Andy. I love him. But it's the first time, first marathons, like you said, there's a lot to learn. And there's some things you just don't know until you get there. And you don't know what it's supposed to feel like. I reckon there's a real experience to the marathon. You've got to learn what you're supposed to feel like at 10K in order to feel good at 30K and 35K. So, yeah, like, this would be a good learning experience for Andy. He'll be able to jump in that pack. And I think that he'll bust out a massive race one day. But, I mean, I hope he does it here, but I just think the experience of Tom and Ben will win out.
Brady's going to say Louis because he's training with him tomorrow morning.
I'm training with Andy this morning, Louis tomorrow morning.
Yeah, Louis won't hear this. Louis won't hear this before that.
And what about we put some beers on it, boys? I'll take Louis and Andy. You guys take Tommy and Benny.
Deal.
Beers at the afternoon. Yep. So we'll do it cross-country point scoring style. Happy with that?
Okay.
Happy with that as well, Cross?
Yeah, so what are we doing? So we got two athletes each, do we?
So if Andy and Lewis, their combined scores put together, so if I go first and third, it's four, is better than Tom and Ben St. Lawrence. Both those guys are quality.
Right.
So that's one of the things interesting. Look, and I don't mind the debutants on a marathon. Rarely people get it right, but these are quality athletes. This is Lewis's backyard as well. He trains up every day of the week.
All right, I'm on the run crew, boys, for Sunday.
You got to back the young bloods here, fellas.
Yeah, so.
Andy, you're going to be buying both of us beers.
Bring your credit card. Bring your credit card to the pub.
Brady. How many
Run to BB credit card.
Oh, what about the Run to PB credit card? I was talking to the boys down at Tassie the other day, and they're like, "Oh, buy us a beer." And I'm like, "No, I don't have the Run to PB credit card." And then they told me that when Zach was down there for Launceston 10 last year, he was just buying everyone beers on the Run to PB credit card. You're a stitch me up here, I reckon.
He's the boss, mate.
Yeah, he's the boss.
You're the bitch.
I was wondering why December's payments were a bit down last year, and that's why. Anyway, boys in Tassie were pretty happy with him.
We got the half fields?
No promo. Like, even the men's field hasn't been promoed yet. Like, they did one article about the women's field, but it was pretty late dated, and then, yeah, haven't seen half fields yet. We know, like, Jack and... Right. Brett are there, Joel Tobin White and Joel. William Adams. We also know like
Nick
Sinead.
Carman.
Who?
Nick Harmon.
Oh,
in
yeah.
The half.
Yep. And we know obviously Lisa, Sinead, and Ali. It'd be interesting to see when they hopefully sooner rather than later do a bit of press on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a fantastic. It's great they've split it up so the marathoners can get out and watch on the Saturday, and you can kind of enjoy the weekend. It feels more like a festival, I reckon, when it's spread across a couple.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Listener question, Bradley.
All right.
How many beers are we putting on that bet? Just one beer each. I wanted to get this on audio. Or a slab of beers.
One beer, right? One beer.
Well, I'll buy one schooner.
Make it two schooners. Two schooners.
So if I... But then I've got to pay double because there's two people betting against me.
Yeah.
But then you win double.
You're the one that made the bet.
High risk, high reward. Alrighty-o. Yeah, that suits me.
Alrighty. All right. This week's listener question comes in from Isabel Kikirekov. Hey, guys. Just wanted to say I really appreciated the chat a few episodes ago about how running is really wrapped up in your identity and how it can really almost unexplainably hard to deal with an injury because it is such a huge aspect of who you are. I'm just over 4 weeks into recovering from a metatarsal stress fracture that was misdiagnosed nearly 3 months ago while training for Gold Coast Marathon. I've now reached a point where I'm actually mentally scared to start training again in a few weeks with fear that it is not healed or will come back. Interested to know if you've dealt with that mental barrier when returning to running and ways to overcome this. Also interested to know if you have experienced phantom pain at injury sites. Love the show. Thanks, Isabel.
Mm.
Great question.
Big question.
Well, Brady, you've hardly been injured.
Yeah, well, I've actually got to go and meet Archie at my hotel. So do you guys just want to answer this question and I'll be back in 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that right?
Archie
comes and stays with you and Carly.
No, he's meant to be coming up tomorrow, but he changed his flight to a day earlier. So we have to look after him for the night.
He sleeps in Hudson.
So you got both your kids in Hudson.
Nah, we've got a three bedroom unit.
Does he call you dad as well?
Nah, we've got a three bedroom unit. Everyone gets their own room up here. Just looking after my training partners.
You tuck him in?
No, I won't be. I'm just going to get him and say, here's your room. I'll see you at 5 o'clock in the morning when Lewis McCaffey picks us up.
He won't be getting up at 5. Yeah. He'll be like, what the fuck did you organise this for?
He can.
This is my first day off in like 6 years.
True. He's a grinder though. Doesn't mind getting up early. Just answer the question, fellas.
All right.
Do you want to go first,
question, Croaks? You go first.
Let me read it.
All right, so I guess from my injury point of view, like I've never had a bone fracture, and so from what you're dealing with, if I was in your situation, then I wouldn't be so much scared about it coming back. I'd be more scared that it hadn't completely healed. So I would make sure that I've got, you know, my physios and my sports doctors, you know, to basically use their guidance as to when I can start back. So I would get a scan to make sure that it's fully healed before I started back. And then it's just a matter of, slowly building up again. I'm trying to think back to, things like my tendonitis. I definitely have phantom pains. Like it's almost impossible to just completely start over and not think about whether you're feeling something. You're going to be super sensitive to the area, but as long as you've done the rehab and the area that's injured is 100%, if you don't overload it too soon, it shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't have any issues coming back. It's when you come back too soon that most of the stuff rears its head again.
Yeah, but that's what Isabel's anxious about, and I fully get it. Like, I fully understand the, like, mental, like, anguish with testing something out, because you're so hopeful, and all you want to do is be able to run again, that there's this worry involved when you start back that it's not right, and then all of a sudden you've got to start again, or you've got to keep waiting. So I get it. Even after I have like 3 days off running, I get really nervous when I put my shoes on to go out in case the injury hasn't left yet, or in case it gets worse. And I know exactly what she's talking about, and I hate it. Like, I'll delay runs even longer into like a rest period or a time off, just because I'm too nervous to go out and test the injury again. It's a really weird setup, but I understand, Isabel, exactly what you're feeling with that. With the stress fractures, there's definitely phantom pain that comes back. I've never had one, but a lot of people do say that you will feel the injury, even though it might not be like still fractured, or there might not be bone stress or edema there. You'll still feel certain things from it, and that's the ghost pain or the phantom pain you're talking about. That's okay to feel that as well. I think you'd want to be like, before you start running, know that if you do feel some little things like that, it doesn't mean that the injury is still there. It's really a thing to feel.
Especially
a good thing from a good.
Oh, sorry, go on.
A good thing is to organize a run with someone else, so it takes your mind off it. So, and with the run, it might be a run walk. So you're definitely not coming back from a stressy straight into 20 minutes or 15 minutes. You're coming back on a run walk program. But if you can organize to have someone there with you, and when you do your little run walks, instead of your mind focusing on every little feel that comes up in your foot, you're talking to someone, and it doesn't, you're not totally like focused on the foot. And then you finish, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I didn't even think about it. That was good. That's a good result. So get mind off it somehow is a bit of a strategy I've used before.
Yeah, and I think it also depends which injury you have. Like, I would be more confident returning from a stress fracture, like, if I'd seen scans that showed that it was 100% healed, because I at least know that structurally everything's okay. Yes, I might get a stress fracture down the track, but in the short term, the scans shows that everything's okay. Where I've always had more issues are those things that you've dealt with lately, Moose, where, like, some injuries, complete rest is actually worse than getting out and doing a bit. So where you have to actually manage the load while you're actually still trying to rehab. I find those injuries a lot harder than something where you break a bone, the bone heals, you know that the bone's healed. Like, the key with the bone injuries is making sure that you progress that training load, you know, gently, so that it doesn't break, like, in the short term. Whereas the stuff that you're dealing with, you don't need to not run for 3 months. You need to actually run, but get the balance right, and that becomes really frustrating.
So now, I've never had these injuries either before. Like, yeah, when I had OP, you can run through that, and I didn't need to reduce my load at all, really, and I could just get through it. Same with plantar, I could run through plantar, no problems. I mean, it would hurt, but it didn't get worse. With this, it's, mate, it's so frustrating. You know, you had,
the other one I could
pin... some injuries that are better than, and I go on.
Are you there? Oh, yeah, like, probably the
when
worst
Brady's
ones...
not here, we really fall apart.
Well, Brad. Now you've, I reckon you're on a lag. That's what I'm blaming.
okay, right.
I had a similar thing when I had, tib ant tendonitis. Like, I was out for like quite a few weeks with that one, and I was quite anxious when I was coming back, because I wasn't sure whether yeah, like how much I could do, and yeah. But I, as I said, I've never had a stress fracture. So anyway, do we answer that, Moose, you reckon?
I think so. I mean, the question was, we haven't had phantom pain because we haven't had bone stress. Yeah. And like I fully appreciate her story about being anxious. We have dealt with the mental barrier. We're returning to running, like that is a tough thing to do. But I think having someone around is good. Like that's the way that I got over it. And having someone you trust to like physio or as an advisor is really good. Like obviously, I have Ali, who's a physio, and I run with her all the time. So she gives me confidence that I'm not damaged by running, and then she will tell me when to break. So if you've got someone that you trust around you, you can almost sort of put your faith in them, and that might take a little bit of anxiety away.
Well said, Moose. All right, let's move on to let's move on to Moose on the Loose, or purchase of the week.
Oh, okay. So I'll do this isn't a Moose on the Loose, but it could be for some people. But I think I've been coming into race week for a marathon. A lot of people doing Gold Coast Marathon start to talk about pre-race and blood load and nutrition. And I get the feeling that there's a lot of people like in the running who scared of eating before the race, as in they don't find that it's healthy, or they worry greatly about the effect that it will have on their stomach or on their weight before the race, and they will resist eating carbohydrates, or they'll resist taking on more fuel in the last couple of days, like in the last 24-48 hours, than they normally do, just because they're almost got this obsession with being healthy, and I think it's real negative for their race performance. Like you have to get comfortable with eating foods that you might not normally consider day to day as healthy. For instance, like a higher amount of carbohydrate at a meal or a soft drink or
some lollies
or whatever. Some lollies, yeah. Exactly. Sugar on your cereal, eating breakfast cereal. All these things in the last 48 hours are important in order to get that like 12 to 15 kilo or per gram of carbohydrate per body kilo in to efficiently carbo load. So I've spoken to several people this week who have said, oh, I don't like carbo loading. I don't like, I just don't like eating that much food, or I just feel like I'm going to get heat or whatever. And you can tell that there's some sort of obviously like food issues at play there, like food body image issue things. But it's not a healthy thing. Like we need to look at food before the race as a fuel for your race. And if you're not doing it properly, just like during the race, if you're not fueling properly, and it's crazy, I've seen some things from some elite athletes and their plans for this marathon, and it is just so underdone, and I'm almost kind of scared of what's going to happen late. It's like they're just doing themselves a massive disservice to ignore all the general guidelines and direction on fueling. It sort of blows my mind that level of athlete can totally just disregard the importance of fuel. I mean, if Kipchoge's picking a bottle up every 5K, pick a bottle up. It's good for you.
That's always my worry as well, Moose, like as a coach, because you can, especially for the marathon, like it's one event that's so different to all the others that we coach, in that you can get somebody physically in great shape and know that they're capable of running a particular time for the marathon, but only if they get everything right in those 2 days beforehand with the fueling and also during the race. Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, like you might put on a little bit of weight in that day, but I'll tell you what, like I remember Lake Biwa, like I didn't feel great for the first 10K, but then there's something like, it's almost like a switch, like maybe 10-15k where you're like, oh my god, I feel absolutely amazing now. And I reckon that's the sign where the carb loading is starting to really kick in, as well as making sure that you keep on top of the nutrition early on when you're feeling good. So like, yeah. I think so many people think, oh, no, I feel good at the moment, so I don't need to have anything. And that was the issue that I had in my first ever marathon, was I went through 10K going, oh, man, I'm jogging. This feels really easy. I don't feel like I'm lacking energy. Got to 15K, still feel the same. Got to 20K, I'll have a gel now. And then got to 25K and the wheels started to fall off because it was too late. I should have been eating at 5 and 10K even though I felt good.
Yeah. Was that Moose on the Loose or was that Purchase of the Week? What was
that?
I just heard the end of it.
Moose on the Loose. Oh, well, not really. It was just sort of discussing the hesitation some people have for eating more food in the days leading up to the marathon. Oh, yeah. I just think it's unhealthy.
Yeah. I thought you might have got political this week, Moose. Would you Moose on the Loose? Got a bit of a sniff of it a couple of weeks back. Would have been a perfect opportunity. I've been seeing you on Twitter, liking the love heart and some of these political tweets.
I'm going anonymous on Twitter. I'm going to go for a, what do you call them, burner accounts. I'm getting out of it. I don't need people seeing that.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
How do you remove that?
I don't know. I just see Julian Spence like this tweet, and then whenever I read it, it's political.
I'm going to be like that. Who was the politician? Greg Hunt that liked that porn tweet. And someone caught it. That's actually one of my favourites.
What's coming up? Obviously, the Gold Coast Marathon this weekend. There's going to be a few Aussies overseas making a last effort ditch attempt to hit a qualifying time. I think Matthew Ramson's in a 5K tonight, so we'll have that to talk about next week. We do have our live show at the Gold Coast still planned to go ahead as per planned, but obviously, if you can't get there anymore due to the state borders closing, that's obviously going to have an impact on things, so we're not really sure who can come and who can't go yet. Thanks to people who have sent us a message saying that you can't get there. We're hoping to set up a live stream for those people who can't get there so you can still kind of experience it in one way. We're not going to offer any more tickets for sale, though, just because we're not sure on cap limits and things like that. But whatever happens over the next couple of days, we'll keep those people informed. Thanks to Morton and Asics for supporting us there. And Shoe Geeks, Moose, you recorded that today. They'll be coming out the next couple of days as well. Bits happening.
Yeah, if you... You publish it, you edit it, you make it pretty, and then you pump it out, don't you?
Hope it doesn't need much editing, does it? Can't I just make it look pretty and then send it out?
Us three make it look pretty with our camera on, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to that one. Croaks, what's coming up? Maybe seeing you up here.
Yeah, well, I'm meant to be flying out Friday morning, so hopefully that's still the case. But yeah, not too much between now and then, a bit of a track session, but yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, Moose, what do you got coming up?
Head down to Goldie on Thursday. Got a run strong catch up. So if anyone's around, want to join a run on Friday morning at 8:30 a.m. out at Cavill Avenue, then come for a run. Join the run strong crew.
If you got to pay, or you can just rock up. I'm still the run strong record holder.
Just rock up, mate.
5 and 10K, half marathon. Is that me? Or me come sign some autographs or something.
Oh, gee. Hey, who's got you covered soon, I reckon?
Who's got me covered?
There yet? Have you Stowe, does he?
Nowhere near me. Minute behind, I reckon, over 10K.
You got to get back on the coaching thing, I think.
Yeah, actually, I was going to hit you up about that, yeah. Because I was, because I've got about, I think, 12 weeks until Melbourne. But I'm going to have 10 days off after Gold Coast, and I need someone to write me a marathon program. I reckon I was...
10 days what?
I'm going to have 10 days just down, just taking it easy, doing some strides, just to like detrain a bit.
Oh, no, yeah.
Before I... not completely off, but pretty low key, just to let the body kind of chill out a bit. And I've got to do like one cross country race in that 10 days. And then I want to start a marathon block towards Melbourne. So you got me pretty fit for me last one that I didn't get to race in. So I'll give you another opportunity, see if you can get me in shape.
You'll give me the opportunity.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was looking through a list of names
to
today.
Work with.
I thought I can't.
You'll give me the opportunity to work with.
Yeah, I'll give you the opportunity.
The prince out there in Moama.
It's good enough for Pashley. It's good enough for me. Right, I've got to go find Archie because he wasn't even there. So he's still walking around the street somewhere.
Child's lost on the Gold Coast, home alone.
He's harder work than Hudson is. Anyway, I see you, boys. Hopefully see us for a beer on Saturday, Sunday. What day are we drinking beers at the live show? Sunday. You'll be buying.
Come on, you'll be buying.
Come on, Andy and Louie. Get up for me. All right.
If we lose Moose, it'll be the inside running credit card.
You told me there's no money on the inside running credit card when I went to buy Ali a beer down at Launceston the other week. You're like, no, there's no money on there.
That's right. There's not.
All right.
All right. Have a week.
Hey, didn't hear a word you said then.
No idea what you said, Moose.
I said, don't buy her a beer. She paid 20 grand to run down there.
20 grand to run Launceston. She's rolling it. She bought me a beer though, but then she had to go to the airport, so I still owe her one. Anyway, we're done. See you, boys.
See ya.
See ya.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 20 of The Road to Nowhere, season 2. I'm Nick Earl. First across the line of the prestigious Athletic South Peter Morrell cross country on Saturday, but was DQ'd, causing a tidal wave of controversy. Well, basically, I commented on their Facebook results post and one person reacted to my comment. But yeah, got DQ'd, so that was annoying.
Why were you DQ'd?
I didn't bring my barcode, so yeah.
You should have got DQ'd for pronouncing it controversy.
That's how we say it in English, Joel. Actually, I haven't introduced you yet, and you're not a real person. Welcome to my co-host, headline act of Glastonbury 2060, Joel Tobin-White. Where the hell are you?
I am in Coffs Harbour. No, I'm actually not. I'm in Marlstone, which is about 20 minutes south of Coffs Harbour, a tiny little coastal town, really small, just down along a river. It's absolutely beautiful here. But yeah.
What's it called, the town?
Milestone. So M-Y-L-E-S-T-O-M.
Milestone.
Yeah.
Have you been putting any pictures up? I haven't seen anything.
Do I usually put pictures up?
Well, so you do stories sometimes.
Yeah. I do stories when I'm in a good, happy mood, taking the piss and stuff, but there's nothing good down here. Nah, the weather, The weather is actually really good here, and it's so beautiful. Like, It's really, really beautiful. Coffs Harbour is a bit of a shithole, but this is, yeah.
All right, for all those Coffs Harbour listeners out there, you live in a shithole.
Yeah, so I thought you were about to say sorry about that, and I was going to go, no, you live in a shithole.
You should probably move if you're from Coffs Harbour.
Exactly. There's some nice parts, but some shit parts.
At least you're not in Sydney, Joel.
Yeah, wow. That's what I thought until – so my inbox is being lit up from a lot of you listeners by – everyone's finding it quite fun to remind me that I've got probably 48 hours to get across the border, people think.
Yeah.
So
well,
probably,
maybe not, though, because there's no regional cases, is there?
There's no regional cases, but that didn't stop South Australia and WA. WA always absolute hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Mark McGowan goes nuts on it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, look, I was speaking to my uncle, whose house I'm staying at right now, and he's a pretty smart guy, so I was, like, trying to talk to him about it, and he said, well, you know, one thing you forget is that New South Wales is so much bigger than Victoria, so often you just have to lock down the whole of Victoria, whereas we were sort of successful in, you know, blocking off Sydney. You know, six hours
from Sydney, probably.
Six hours north of Sydney or something. It's a long way, so... Maybe even 8 hours.
The worry is that they're shutting all of New South Wales to Queensland. Is that what's?
Yeah, like? that's the worry. So I got a message from my family today and my uncle, sort of both at the same time, and I thought, shit, I've missed the news here. And I went and had a look, and people are just talking about how it looks like it might be likely they've shut the border to from 1 a.m. tomorrow night. So, yeah, pretty much tonight. They have shut it to Greater Sydney, So it's just like it got to the point I was just like, for fuck's sake. Like, and then Collis messages me and goes, Victoria opened borders this weekend. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I might just quit running. How about that? So yeah, it's pretty shit. But yeah, and I'm and now I've got a niggle from fucking driving. So it's just all.
What is it?
The SRJ, the thing that put me out for 2 weeks last year, three weeks. So anyway,
don't drive back to Melbourne then.
Yeah. Well, that's why I didn't want to. That's why I was sort of hesitant even driving today. Like it's 4 hours. The shit thing
is stops, I suppose. Like just drive for an hour at a time and then take 10 minutes like stretching.
Yeah, every hour I'll get out of the car, take 6 anti-inflammatories and do a bit of a walk and then get back.
Anyway, I'll introduce my other co-host,
Future Olympian. Sorry, I thought we already introduced her. Hello,
everyone.
Joel, Jesus. And, hopefully non-burrito eating person after your test yesterday, Ellie Pashley. The reason we had to record tonight is because Ellie was getting tested last night. So how did it go, Ellie?
Well, I haven't got the results yet, but hopefully all clean.
You didn't go to Zambrero's before, did you?
No, I hadn't had any burritos. They came at what time? We were going to record at 8:30, and I think it was about 8:15, and I had my headphones in, and I was walking around listening to music, doing things.
Yeah,
I know. I did think no one's going to believe this is an excuse, but they were banging, and then there's two girls staying in the apartment below me, and they opened, we've got two doors to get into our place, and they opened the outside door and wouldn't let them in because they knew that there was myself, a girl, staying upstairs by herself. And I think they were like, well, who are these people with masks and jackets and everything trying to get into the girl next door's apartment? So that was actually quite nice of them. They were trying to protect me, but yeah, then it meant that the drug testers were a bit unsure as to what was going on, but yeah, we got there eventually.
Yeah, right. So that would have been, because we would have been recording if we started going at 8.
We would have been recording, which I definitely wouldn't have heard then because I would have had these headphones in again.
Oh, right.
So
yeah.
I don't know what would have happened.
That ended up you getting, you know, like you getting banned or something because we're recording.
Well, it's my time slot is in the morning. So I think if they come outside your time slot and you're not there, I don't know if you get nothing a strike.
They just try
and find you, I think.
Nothing happens. They wait for 1 hour and then they'll leave. But if they see, which is totally fair enough. It's like, otherwise you get strikes.
They come in your time slot and you're not there, you get a strike.
Then you get a strike,
But that's fair because that's where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's easy. When people say, oh, this is like too hard, blah, 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 it's like, oh, come on. But
when people have had 4 or 5 whereabouts failures, you're like, surely if you'd got one strike, you'd then be really, because I can see how you could forget once because sometimes it is a little bit, mine's at 6 a.m. so that's normally fine, but I used to have it at night and you know, if you decide to go out for dinner after work or something and then you lose track of the time and then, but if it was 5 times, like that's just ridiculous.
Because they obviously have your number as well, because they could just call you and say, look, get home within 5 minutes or something.
They can call you. I don't think they have to call you though. I've been called before when I was at work and they were at my house.
Was that in your time or no?
I don't think so, but I think it was maybe just before my time slot, but I would have got home in time, but they were they rang to see where I was.
The worst is when people have, like, imagine you've got something super important, like a friend's wedding or something, and you're about to leave and it's not in your time slot, and they rock up just as you're heading out the door. Once they've seen you, then you have to go back in.
Oh, really? You can't just do a runner.
If it's not on your time slot but they've made contact, and they've introduced you, just have to, that's it.
You can't leave their site.
And you're running away. Could you do that?
I reckon, well, You just put a paper bag over your head and sprint. And go,
not seeing
you,
can't see.
But like, honestly, if you, or like a flight or something, if you were sort of, if you were, you know, you had to, and there's nothing you could do. You could technically, I don't think there's any special consideration. Like, you could be like, no. I have to catch this flight. It's the only flight for the day. I have to. And they're like, well, you better piss quickly. And if you can't, then you're going to miss the flight. It's just, or you, I wonder if you, if you literally said to them, sorry, I can't, I'll get the strike. I wonder if it's a strike in that instance.
No,
or
it's not
an
a strike, because that's what happened
ban,
to Sarah Klein.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a strike. It's
and
a...
That's what it does make sense. We
but
need
she
a
gave
2 year
half
or 4 year?
Didn't she give a sample?
Yeah, but so she needed to give more, but she couldn't because her plane was leaving and she didn't want to miss her plane. And I think she maybe didn't... Or maybe they were like, oh, okay, and let her go, but then
I think someone said, okay, you're all right. Like, because yeah, she was interviewed on the main podcast, and yeah, she said someone told
her
that.
Who is this
oh,
again? Who's this?
Sarah Klein.
It was after Briggs.
Sarah from she's from Melbourne from the Peninsula.
Ah, yes, I did hear about this. Yep.
And yeah, she was in Hobart, and I liked how she described where the track is. Was in the middle of like the country, like in the middle of the bush. And it's just like, no, it's just up the hill from the city. It's
in the
just
middle
so
of the city.
No, it's the city that's in the middle of the bush.
Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, that's, yeah, right. So if they introduce and you saying, I need to go.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, they could probably, I guess they could ban you, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Which is, right. It does make sense because it's like, you know, if you imagine being a doper and you see him come in and they're not in your time slot, you're like, oh, no, I just can't. I've got to go. Oh, I've got to go somewhere.
It's like, yeah, and they will go with you, like yeah. They'll go with you wherever you have to go, which would be pretty weird if you're going to a wedding. But they would do that. Yeah, I don't know about when you, they obviously can't wedding? Go on the plane with you, but it was your wedding.
Standing with you next to you up there,
giving the sample on the altar.
Got some holy water. Oh, dear me. Anyway, let's get into your week, Ellie. How did it go?
Yeah, so I started, I think this last week was the first week I started doing the solid heat block.
So this is after Lonnie, so you would have started.
Yeah, I started on the Tuesday, I think. After Lonnie, on Monday I didn't do heat. So I flew back from Lonnie late Sunday night, and then I had a bit of a sleep in, and then just did easy running.
Go on, what's a sleep in? Tell the listeners, what's a sleep in? Because Nick and I
that day I did sleep in, because I think I didn't get home till like 1:30 a.m. or something.
Okay.
So I think I slept in till like 9:30 or something.
9:30.
Is that a sleep in or no?
That's actually not too bad.
That's a fair sleep in.
What's
my
a sleep
recent
in for you?
Worst was like 11:30. I was like,
if I was like super.
What a waste of the day.
I hate people like that. Oh, you're wasting the day. It's like, yeah, well, I have more fun at night. Shut up.
Yeah. I was...
When I'm hungover, I don't sleep in at all. I wake up at like 6:30 and can't.
Oh, no.
No, but if you get back to sleep again, then
yeah.
Because you've kind of dealt with your hangover. You kind of get up, you feel shit for a couple of hours, then you get back to sleep, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the this one was when it was state cross country, and it was like 1:30 race. And I was like, oh, at least I don't need to get up early, and I don't need to rush around or anything. But then I woke up at 11:30. The race was like an hour drive away in 2 hours' time. And I was just like, oh, shit.
That's
so bad. I did a really bad prep and just ran awfully. Yeah. Sorry, Ellie. Anyway, what's your session?
I actually missed that story because I was trying to find the thing that had my heat stuff in it.
It wasn't great.
You're hungover and you didn't run well?
No, I wasn't hungover at all. I didn't set an alarm and slept in.
Well, why didn't you tell us again?
it's so boring first time. Ellie, please tell us what your session was.
Yeah, so I didn't do a session. I did a race on Sunday, so I didn't do a session until Wednesday. And Wednesday was also my first day of heat stuff. So I did the workout in the morning. We just went to a gravel road that had a few little hills on it. Jules kind of told me he wanted this one to be easy to medium effort as far as sessions go. So it was just 2 minutes, 10 by 2 minutes hard, 1 minute jog. And yeah, the 2 minute efforts, they varied a little bit, but they went 3:11, 3:05, 0:05, 11, 0:09, 0:08, 0:08, 0:07, 0:09, 12. Yeah, I felt pretty good. I felt like I recovered from the race quite well, and yeah.
So it was super flat, was it?
No, it was like you go down a hill at the start and then it kind of is flat, and then we went along and up a little bit, then back down and then back up to the finish. So the last hill up to the finish is decent, but it's mostly flat. It's just a bit of a gravel road that's the surface isn't that good for trying to run fast on. But, yeah, it didn't really matter. It probably, it was the right amount of hard after a race on the Sunday.
Was that loop you just described across all of the efforts, or is that each effort you did the same thing?
Oh, no, all of the efforts. So I just went out and back on the road, yeah.
That was the longest delay in answering that, by the way. There was like a 10-second silence.
Oh, I didn't quite understand. Sorry,
actually. For a second. I was actually talking
about. Yeah.
Well, I was because they were 2 minutes, right? And so I thought maybe it was like a two-minute loop that you worked out.
Yeah, nah, it was just out about, actually don't even know how far out.
You went
8.1K. 8.1K, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Jules just had his watch on and he just called out. He's got this new thing where he rides along with the bell on his bike and dings me when to go and when to stop.
Well, see, like him doing that for a session, oh, could you imagine?
I know. When he said it, I was like, this could really annoy me, or it could be actually kind of handy. And in some ways it's handy because I can't hear very well when I'm running, so it's good to – and it means I don't have to look at my watch. But today he accidentally dinged at the wrong time. anyway, we'll talk about that next week. And then in the afternoon.
Tune in next week for that.
Yeah, Julian's
game.
No longer with us.
Julian's not my coach anymore. Yeah, then in the afternoon I did my first heat session. So that was just a 8K run and then 20 minutes in the sauna. So Jules also is the sauna master. So he tries to get it as hot as possible before I get in. And then he sits there with his watch on that beeps every 30 seconds to spray more water on it. And he likes to play this game, like to mess with me, where he normally does two sprays and it gets like really hot each time he sprays. And then every now and then he does a third one to watch my reaction, because I know that it's going to get hotter when he does three. So he's having heaps of fun traumatizing me. That was pretty hard, actually. Yeah, he comes in. He loves the heat stuff.
Does he have to be naked in there? I mean,
no, we're not naked.
Because I imagine him bending over in front of you.
Yeah, no naked sauntering. That would be very weird. So I actually got out of the sauna and nearly fainted this day.
How long were you in there for?
I was in there for 20 minutes. Shit. Yeah, I find the sauna really, really hard. And we're not really sure how hot it is, but we basically try and get it as hot as possible. But when I got out, we were trying to get the scales working, because I'm weighing myself to see how much fluid I lose. And it was taking a while to get them to turn on, and then I got the whole, like, you know when your vision goes all blurry and you get spots of black just before you faint? Have you guys ever fainted?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I need to sit down. So I laid down for a bit, and then I was fine.
You didn't faint.
I didn't faint. No, I can recognize when I'm going to faint with those things. So, yeah, I got down on the ground before I
Were you one of those fainting kids? Passed out. Like in primary school, always fainting?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. To be honest, out of the three of us, I thought both of you were.
I thought you'd be a fainter too, actually. It's not always the dramatic ones.
It's one of the nerds.
I can imagine you swooning, Joel, in front of you just like pretend to faint for dramatic effect.
Oh, I do that, yeah.
Fake fainting.
Nothing in front actually of, like, wrong with
hot
me.
Guys. Oh.
All right, moving on. So then I did my next heat session on Friday. So again, did I go in the sauna or did I rug up for this one? No, I went in the sauna again. I can't remember. Yes, I did. I ran 17Ks and then got in the sauna for 20 minutes again. And that was actually not as bad. I think the sauna wasn't as hot that day, so I didn't have a...
So hang on, are you rugged up for the run then?
Not for this one, but okay. Yeah, this was just so normal.
That's what Julian's photo was.
I saw this was on Sunday.
I didn't even think of it. I just saw you and I went, geez, you must be so bored that you're like rugging up to try and get a funny photo.